Jacksonville, Florida. It's time for another Hour of Power with Apostle Kimberly Daniels. Get ready for a 60-minute experience that will change your life forever.
Jacksonville, Florida, welcome to another Hour of Power with Apostle Kimberly Daniels. And we are streaming live on Facebook. If you can, please follow me, like me, State Representative Kimberly Daniels. That is not a government page. That is my Facebook name, State Representative Kimberly Daniels. If you're not following, go ahead and follow, sign up, do whatever you got to do to become a part of our Facebook family. I have a special guest here today. But before we get into our subject matter, I just want to remind you to get out and vote. This is the last day of early voting is over, but you have one more day to vote. We have a day off tomorrow, and on Tuesday, it is the last day to vote. You need to know that your vote counts. Get out and vote. I really believe that the Bible says in Psalms 75:6 that promotion does not come from the east or the west or the south. It comes from the north. It says that God will pull one down and put another up. And in other words, there's some seats that some folk want that are occupied right now. And I believe that God is supreme. He's sovereign. He has the last say. As believers and people of God, we have to pray for our leadership even before they get in the seats. Pray for those empty seats. Pray for the leaders. It affects us so much. I'm telling you, if the church would come out and pray. On this day, they call it Souls to the Polls. It's one of the most crowded days at church with political people, but sometimes we don't see a lot of them after church start. And I just am a believer that those who come to our churches for our support, they need to remember the things of the kingdom and remember the church when they're making laws, because without the vote of the churches, nobody would win. So we need to get that revelation. So let's go before God in prayer. Father, we thank you for our listening radio audience on this day. God, we thank you right now for those that are on Facebook Live. God, we thank you that you're covering us, God, as we talk on a very sensitive topic. And we pray for all of those who are listening, who have loved ones that are incarcerated. We pray for those who have loved ones who are working in the correction system. God, we pray for those who, not just the correctional officers, but we pray for the nurses, God. We pray for the administrators, God. We pray for those who make those prisons safe and do what they're supposed to do. God, we just ask you to raise up gatekeepers in the correctional system. God, we pray for corrections all over America, but we are spearheading and targeting Florida. God, even as you've given me to be a woman of God as an apostle in the body of Christ, you've also given me a seat to be a member of the House of Representatives, where I am authorized to go in and to see after those that are locked up and locked down, who some have been forgotten. God, we just thank you to cover our heads with your blood and cover our mouths with your blood as we speak forth the oracles of God. Let not one word of what we speak fall to the ground, but let it hold weight. Let it get the attention that it needs to get in the spirit, so it will manifest in the natural. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I have a very special guest with me. He is a civil rights attorney. His name is Mr. Robert Slama. Come on, put your hands together, clap some hands, hit some hearts for Robert Slama. Listen, he got an S-L-A-M-A is his name. Add another A, it'll be Robert Slama. he does slam. I want him to begin by talking a little bit about himself and what he does. Mr. Slama, welcome.
Good to be here with you.
To an Hour of Power with the Apostle. You usually meet with the state representative. Welcome. I just want to introduce myself. I'm Apostle Kim Daniels. How are you?
Absolutely. And I am glad to be here with you.
Well, you have a beautiful radio voice. Can you just tell us a little bit about what you do? You know, there's so many types of attorneys and so many different aspects of law. tell us, what do you specialize in, Mr. Slummer?
When I went out on my own in 1998, I prayed to the Creator and I said, send me your people and I will take care of them. Particularly back then, this was at the beginning of the ACLJ coming out, Jay Sekulow, and also in Florida, the Liberty Council. I didn't want any of my folks who were Christians who had to come in and explain who they were. I knew who they were. But for so many, they had been used to that when they came in, they saw an attorney, they saw a doctor, it was not normal to say, doctor, will you pray with me before my operation? Or, as I tell my clients, when I go into a courtroom, I don't look at it as a courtroom. It's church. Now,
wow.
The reason I say that, when I go in prison and I see people, the first thing I do is I tell them, I said, I don't know where you're standing, but my Bible says where my two feet are, I'm standing on holy ground. So right now, I said, when I come, that's why I said, when I come into the prison, I say this in front of the guards.
Wow.
I make sure what they hear is, I'm not here. I'm a lawyer, and I certainly know how.
But wait a minute, I want to see your face. I mean, you're talking, people need to know who you are. Now, can we just turn that way a little bit? Okay, sit down, Mr. Slummer.
I tried to get
okay,
it
right. Get, you right. Okay, good. So now they can see you. If I could pull that, let me move my thing down. There we go. I'm in the way, not you. Okay, we good.
So when I go in, this is how I start. I have had, and I always tell people, the way I go about my cases is completely different than anyone else for this reason. It's a partnership. God asks me to do my part, and then I rely on him to do his part. So, for example, I have had the most amazing results in cases, and even people on my own staff would say to me, Robert, this time, there's no way you can do this. And I come out, and they go, what happened? And I said, he got time served in a homicide case. They look at me, you're kidding. He walked in with a gun. I said, but you don't understand. See, we're not fighting against people. I'm fighting against powers and principalities. And the other thing I like people to understand when we're going through this is that judge that's sitting up there. You remember another gentleman by the name of Jesus when Pilate had the audacity to look at him and say, don't you know I have the power to take your life? And don't you know I have the power to save it? And what did he say? You have no power over me other than that which my Father in heaven has given you. So I tell my clients when they're in jail, for example, even when they're out, I said, the battle position I want you in is praying. I'll take care of the courtroom. I'll let God take care of everything else. You take care of using the power that you have. Now, when people, you have to understand, most people have never run into someone like me who talks to them like that. And I understand it.
And wait a minute, let's get it straight. And you win in big time cases.
Absolutely. And as I said,
okay,
I do my part, but I know when my part ends and that now it's the handoff to the Creator. And I am sure that he is up for the task. So it goes like this, like in the case that we'll be talking about in a bit. When I go into battle and I have a praying mother or grandmother, I have a praying state representative, and I know what I'm doing and I know where God is. Here's what I always tell everyone. They may have more people, more money, more this, but they are badly overmatched. And that's not hubris. When David faced Goliath, Goliath was overmatched. He was just too stupid to realize that the guy that he was about ready to face came at him this way. I always tell people there's three things that I do and I always start with. First is purpose. Purpose. David didn't come
out. Put that on the screen, purpose.
Very important. David didn't come out there just looking for a fight. He came out and what did he say? Who is this Philistine that this guy would defile the name of God and the God of Israel? And what are the people who were charged with looking out for that doing? They were scared and they were running. So David came into the match, but he had a purpose. Second, how did he fight? This is the second principle I want everyone to know. He didn't go in saying, I'm just going to do this any old way because I'm David. I get to do how I want to do it. What did David do? They said, if you're going to beat this guy, look, you need to get your armor. You need to get this big old sword. He said, I don't need that stuff. I'm going in with that which is tried, tested, and proven.
Wow.
And what did he go in with? He had been in training his whole life out in this wonderful place called the wilderness. Now think about
this. The wonderful place called the wilderness. Y'all can put that on the screen. The wonderful place called
now,
the wilderness.
You know why I say the wilderness? Because during the Exodus, everything you want to know about life, where did Jesus bring our little friends that were in captivity? He He took them through a wilderness. Everybody's got to go through the wilderness. The road between where you are and the promised land, he's always going to take you through the wilderness. And then when some say to me...
So what was that second thing?
Second thing is that which is tried, tested, and proven.
That which is number two, that which is tried, tested, and proven. Because we're going to have some folk watch this afterwards, and we always put stuff on the screen. So go ahead.
Third is, these are the three most powerful words in the Bible. And that's what I was the conversation that I was having with you. Now, he has these first two things in motion. None of those mean anything if you don't arise, go, walk. What did he say to Abraham? Arise, go, walk. There's a place that I would have you to know.
So the third thing is arise,
go,
walk.
Walk it out. Now, it takes faith to take that first step. What did he say to everyone he encountered? Arise, go, walk. Arise, go, walk.
Arise, go, walk.
So you walk with a purpose, and you're walking with a plan that the Creator is going to show you, and all he needs you to do is stand in that which is tried, tested, and proven. So what I'm saying is, in everyone's life, your life, my life, he shows you how Kim is going to fight her battles. He taught Robert how Robert's going to fight his battles. He taught David how he was going to fight his battles. How many battles did David lose? He never lost a one.
Wow, now, that's a good record.
You see? And then, so what I tell people is, when people ask me how I learned to fight the state, is I followed David. I followed King David. I use the same
principles. Well, now, wait
a minute.
Now, you know, I work for the state. So you're not fighting me, are you?
Well, depends on what you do.
I work for the state.
Depends on what happens.
Oh, he could switch up on me at any time.
Well, because you're kind of part of it, but you're also separate. But I mean, for example, when I sue the state of Florida, technically, that's part of the part of the fabric of what you represent. But in the end, what I like people to know is, because every time the first thing I hear when we get ready to go into battle is something like this, Kim, where's hope? So I have to have this conversation, because right now many people are saying the same thing. If you have someone who's incarcerated, you have someone who's certainly either, it may be serving a life sentence, it may be someone who's in the Duval County Jail. I hear something like this, Kim. It always goes like this. After they stop crying and they're upset, the first question is, where's my hope? And I go, serious? I said, I hope your hope is not in me, because I realize people, you know, when you're drowning, you latch on to the first thing.
Wait a minute. I hope your hope is not in me.
That's the first thing I tell them.
I hope your hope is not in me. I hope is in God. Because when you got a hopeless situation, he's the only one that could give you hope. Go ahead.
But you know what's funny is, now think as an attorney, that always sends people back a little bit, because they're going, wait a minute, I'm looking to hire you and you're telling me not to put my hope in you. And I said, I'm a lawyer. Now words matter. You said hope. Remember Obama's book, The Audacity of Hope. I can show you the source of all hope, but I pray to God your hope is not in me.
Amen.
Now,
y'all got that?
If you got,
he's still a good attorney, in other words.
I said, I do my part, he does his part, but your hope is always in the Creator. It better not be in me. Now, what I say is, what you should be looking for me for is plan. How are we going to do this? How are we going to execute this? How are we going to maneuver our way through the system? What is the goal, the purpose? How are we going to get there?
So let me just say this. So first of all, I'm not going to call you Robert. I'm calling you Slammer. And if things get real deep, I'm going to call you Slammer.
There you go. If you're ever in the Slammer.
Mr. Slammer. Okay, but listen now. So let's just get this straight, because people will try to take things and turn them around. Mr. Slammer, he gives people a chance, a fair shot. Sometimes people have lawyers that, they're just in it to take folk money. They have no compassion. They have no fear of God. When you got a lawyer that fear God, you're going to get a fair shake. When people put God first, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Everything you have need of will be given unto you. I have been truly beat out of some money by some attorneys. We're not going to go into that. So you really need someone who believes in your case, you know, and can trust that you're being straightforward with them. Because I know Mr. Slammer is not working with riffraff folk that just trying to run games and get around. He's really a man of integrity and a man of strategy. since I've known you, you know, because you jumped on me the first. You was like, you jumped on me and I jumped on you and we jumped back on each other.
I was like, on the weekend.
I was like, who is this man? Who you talking to? You ain't talking to me. Okay. No, but really, but I called him back because he had such a passion, because I was like, I'm with my children. And he was like, people are dying. I need your attention right now. I'm like, sir, you can't just do this. You can't call me. And God just gave us a relationship out of that. But let's get to the point, because me and you, we could talk all day long. These radio personalities. But Mr. Salama, I want to say this, that I have had some experiences in the correction system in Florida. And then I'm going to start out with me. I mean, I'm a state representative. By Florida statute, I can go in, and I have been assaulted. Yep, they hit the anointed. Touch, not hit, touched. They didn't hit me. They touched the anointed. I've been assaulted. I've been threatened by officials, not by inmates, by those who are supposed to guard over our inmates. And can I tell you, the people in charge do absolutely nothing about it, because we're going to talk about the jar with the gold teeth. So, you know, we have a prison that, you know, people say it's a myth or it's a fable or it's some historic fallacy that they have for black people that come in with gold teeth in their mouth. You know, they have a jar with gold teeth, and they show them that jar when black people come in. Like, if you don't act right, so you know I would have been the first one, you know, they would knock my teeth. So you can
imagine.
They
were trying.
When you got a state representative, I didn't know I was walking up into a place you couldn't have no gold teeth.
You can.
I can, but they don't seem to know that. But let me say this, though. And I am not speaking what I think. You know, I have somebody on my staff that was a correction officer. Yep, I've seen the jar gold teeth. Everybody on the streets, when I go to the street, when you talk about Lake Butler, they talk about the jar with the gold teeth. And we're laughing. I'm laughing it off, really, to keep from crying, you know, because you have to, you know, it's a real serious thing when people are being abused. And I'm telling you, that is my opinion, that we have a real serious problem in the criminal justice system, in the prison, in the correction system in Florida. Now, I want to say this. There are some great institutions with some good. It is not throwing away the baby with the bathwater. Is that how they say it?
Yep.
There are some people who are great wardens. I met one warden. Let me tell that story. His son got caught up in a situation, and so he has a compassion. But I've met some places where they have the veterans program, and I've just. I went to one place. They had this super duper nice youth program for young offenders, for youth offenders. They call them YOs. I had to figure out what a YO.
YO.
Okay, but there are some bad places, and I have been to the bad places, and I just figured I needed to get me a little healing and deliverance and talk about it, because when I go into a prison. A little woman like me, and when you got these big burly guards surrounding all around me and to intimidate me, to the point where one guy literally tried to, I'm not talking about prisoners, I'm talking about the leadership of the facility. And when they're doing that, that's why whoever's going to be the governor, I'm crying out to you right now, please do something. Because if they're jumping on me like that, what are they doing to inmates? I'm gonna. This is not my last show. Guess what? If nothing's done, I'm gonna start putting some of those letters on Facebook Live. I'm gonna start reading them to you, because they laugh at me. They say, "Oh, she's coming in," and you know these guards do this. You know, you know, you're not gonna do nothing. They tell the inmates every time I leave, I'm told that they beat them. The inmates say they beat them. Oh well, we don't believe inmates. Inmates are human beings. I saw an old man. He had some kind of disease where he was shaking, And when they beat that man, and I know they beat that man, because I looked at one of the leaders and I said, really, sir? You really expect me to believe that this man, he can barely stay still, that he did something? Nobody deserves to be treated that way. It's inhumane. And so that's why I got Mr. Slammer here. This is just like a preview, and we're trying to make the best of a real hard situation. I have two district secretaries that are going through PTSD, post-traumatic stress, is it disorder, just from going to the jail, prison with me, because they've seen how the warden, we're talking about from the top, have treated us when we went in there, because this has happened ever since I walked in. Around April, I think it's around the 2nd or something like
April
that.
April 2nd.
When I went into a jail, a prison visit, all of, you know, just, I've been going midnight in prisons for all my life, but I never walked into anything like this. And ever since I went in and there was a murder of a young man named Timothy Thomas, and I'm going to turn this over because I get a little emotional when I talk about this, because I'm praying for Miss Thomas's for Timothy Thomas's mother, Mrs. Thomas. You know, it is something that when we send men to prisons to be rehabilitated, especially at a medical facility when they're there for medical help, and if they're treated any other way out of what they're supposed to, everybody on the streets know, well, I'm not going to play no games. Look, put me on a lie detector. Make me do statements, whatever. It is my opinion that inmates are being horribly abused and mistreated at prisons in Florida, but specifically at Lake Butler. And I know, because I have been horribly abused. And if I just came through there a few minutes, what are they doing to two district? Y'all know my nail broke, so please forgive me. Two district secretaries literally got to get counseling, because they, you know, I'm from the hood. I'm not that strong, where these big burly men, really, if to describe them, they were like goons. Spell that G-O-O-N-S. What that means, bullies or people that try to intimidate you, because ever since I came in and this murder thing came up. And you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I've literally been... I'm not scared, and God is my protection, but I don't know who is working with who. And, you know, having young boys that never been in trouble and riding up and down the road, I have had, and I've turned it into the proper authorities. I don't even think you know this. I've had pictures of men, of the parts of a man, body part that I don't want to see placed on my door in Tallahassee. Snakes cut off tails, and you know, even, you know, a lot of stuff, you know, that people don't know about. So we're going to be talking, because I am praying, and know what they say, it's a culture, it's nothing's going to ever change. So it is a culture, and I know that I'm a drill sergeant, so I'm not trying to say you know, criminals who need discipline. I'm not saying that, but I am saying at least be sensitive to humanity and don't treat people like animals. Go ahead, Mr. Slama.
You know, a lot of people would not have the courage to do what you've done, because it's too easy, as we know, to look the other way and walk away. And I admire the fact that as you begun this journey, which is a different journey. See, when you went in the prison before, you came in mostly by way of prison ministry, state representative. And you were kind of a friend of the institution, because you weren't a threat to the institution.
Well, I'm a friend of the institution now.
No, I understand. But I mean a particular one, because what's happening now is the prisoners know that they finally have a voice, and that voice is you. You're their Moses.
And the last time I went there, they stopped me, asked me to get my... Can you believe they put the state rep out the prison? Now, somebody need to be writing some letters, y'all. We're going to give you the opportunity to do that. They put me out of the prison. I have... leadership that's helping me. The Black Caucus, not the Black Caucus, because boy, I got some brothers and sisters, other African American community that's in the House, they are really with me and they've helped me. And but some of those senators, I'm going to say it just like that, in the Black Caucus, they told me, you know, I'm in there by myself. You know, they really don't want me to go in. I don't know why we're not investigating. You know, if we say Black Lives Matter, I'm not trying to get involved on one side or the other, but do the lives of these inmates matter? And for the senators, some of the senators, well, and they, you know, but please don't get me wrong, not the whole entire Black Caucus, but a lot of the upper echelon men that's been around a long time, they sent me a letter and said, we will have nothing to do with investigating guards killing inmates. And, you know, I really, I'm not offended. I can get along with anybody, but I'm just kind of tired of sitting around having caucus parties and going to games and men are dying. It's real serious with me. And, I'm just calling out to the caucus. Y'all come help a sister. Don't complain. Come on, join in and help me. You know, I'm Black. What's up with that? Y'all don't want to help a sister? You know, you just help certain Black people. Come on, y'all. Reach out to me. I'm on the front lines by myself, you know. So, you know, for those of you family members out there, and do not get me wrong. I am not trying to say that we don't discipline people. People are in prison because they are undisciplined. They are murderers. They are child molesters. They are all kind of folk that do not deserve, okay, to be out into the general population that have been murdered people and doing all this kind of stuff. But I do believe that if we would give folk a fair shake at being restored, recidivism would not be so bad. And I believe that when we have prisons like what I'm talking, we're creating monsters and making the street, people are dying on the streets every day. So when they go through this system and they get beat down and treated like nothing, and there's some that want to, I mean, there's a lot of folk that's full of game in jail, full of game, you know, trying to be thugs or whatever. But when they know that they don't have a chance, when you got, I ain't trying to be funny, I ain't calling nobody no name, but when you got thugs guarding thugs, it's a problem. It's a real problem.
Do you know what the purpose of prison is? And that's what, we are so out of order. The House is out of order. The purpose of prison, the French notion of prison is redemption. So I said, you can judge an institution, in my opinion. You look at Angola. Angola was one of the worst prisons out of Louisiana, one of the worst prisons in the United States. They went in with Christian folk, totally changed the whole environment in Angola. So they took what was the worst prison. Those prisoners, there's a new culture there. So that's why when people tell me, Kim, that you can't have law and order and discipline, but you can't simultaneously have treating people in a certain way and creating people that fosters an environment for redemption, I don't believe it, because I would tell these guards, go to Angola. Now, keep in mind, when people talk to me too, they always try to figure out first, and I try to explain to people, I grew up around blue. My dad was retired NYPD. I grew up in a car with a shotgun in the front. You understand? So, I mean, I'm not.
And my sister is the popo.
You see? Yes. And so it's not this. So what I tell people is this. This is very important to understand. If you're a guard out there, and I've represented guards, and the first thing I said to them is, we each have stewardship. You see, now, why you're here, why I'm here, so when people ask, here's the point I hope everyone gets. Kim Daniels, forget about being accountable to the people, which she is, but she's also accountable to God for the stewardship that she's been given over those people. And right now, whether you like it or not, you have stewardship over those very people in that institution that I've reached out to you. I have stewardship over my clients. So in other words, what I'm charged with is to put their interest ahead of even my own. And that's just the legal thing that I've got.
Wow.
But when it comes to what I tell people is, and they're always looking around because they're trying to figure stuff out, I said, forget about that. I've got GOD who watches me daily
over you
and
daily.
Says, Robert, you guys remember, and mm-hmm. I always, you know, I say, if people really believe this, it would change everything they do, including if starting with their mouth. What Jesus was trying to tell people, now just as a quick aside, but it's an important point, because it's very important to where we are in our society, where we are marginalizing each other and don't realize it daily. People of faith are doing the same thing. Here's what Jesus said. When people are talking about ultimately how is it fair that someone gets, you know, potentially sent to hell and all this, because people don't like that notion. And then they speak in that same vein of, how can you be a good God if you send people to hell? Well, here's basically how Jesus said it. He said, I'm not here to convict you, but guess who is here to convict you? Well, we talk about Satan, but you ready for this one? He took it down to a personal level, and most people miss it. He said, son, daughter, your words are going to convict you. That's why he said, it's the words that come out of your mouth that defile a man, not what goes in. The Jews were so hung up on the food that they were eating, and they should be. But here's what they missed. He said, but the same way you look at what you eat and you stick in your mouth, that's what he's trying to tell them. What comes down, that's important. But how much more so what comes out of a mouth that defiles a man? And what he said was, at the day of judgment, I don't have to give an account for Kim Daniels' words. You don't have to give an account of Robert Slama's words. But my words are going to be at the gate to convict me.
And you were not there today at my service. And this is what I preached about.
You see?
I'm telling you, you know, I was talking about, you know, our names being in the Lamb's Book of Life. And there's one word, a Greek word that means no name. And if you have no name, it can't be there. So we need to make sure that on Kimberly Daniels, name recognition when you're running. And, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. If folk vote for me again or not, if folk hate me, don't call me. If you don't agree with what I say, don't even call me. You know, this is not an opinion. This is who I am. This is what I do. I got some friends that are upset with me because I go to prisons and I go to, I've never disrespected anybody, but I'm a black sister with gold teeth in my mouth, and some white boys who didn't like that, you know, they got riled up and they just went crazy. And you know, I'm not the one that's trying to pull the race card all the time. I don't do that, but I'm telling you, it's really real. There is a culture that must be dealt with, and I'm not going to ignore it. So I'm just telling you like it is. And, you know, people need to know what's going on, and I'm not going to stop somebody, whoever's going to be the governor, please hear me. Whoever is the governor of Florida and every other state. And, you know, Florida is real hard on here. And we do have an amendment where inmates will be restored, where their rights will be restored to vote. You know, I'm for that, but I want more than that. You know, don't just restore me and get my vote. You know, I feel like, you know, I don't want nobody to use me like that. Now, we want restoration of rights, but how about restoring me fully as a citizen? If I can vote, you know, and especially if you're going to restore my right to vote, restore my right to live. Let me live in prison. Let me not die in prison because I've been maced and beaten down and whatever. And I'm not saying all that, but I'm saying there's a possibility, you know, that there are some folk that are dying not of natural causes in our state prisons, and it's not inmate on inmate. So I'm just saying that I am an elected official and I represent the people. And it breaks my heart when I have stacks and stacks and stacks of letters saying the same thing. Oh, inmates don't do nothing but lie. All of them not lying. They need somebody to know and to hear the cry. And y'all know I did a teaching, go down my Facebook, on what God and what Jesus say about the inmate. He says when you visit those who are locked up in prison, you literally visit him. So I'm not just visiting inmates when I go to prison. I'm visiting Jesus. And there are people I have, so like Greg James, wherever you at in Tallahassee, Florida, overseer Greg James was given life plus 40 years. He's an example of how God can restore a life. I see so many people every day that have been successfully re-entered into society. You know, some folk need a second, a third, and a fourth chance. God gave me so many chances. And we just want to just kind of plant some seed, open your ears to know what we're dealing with. And plus, y'all, please pray for me, because I'm making a whole lot of folk mad, but ain't nobody mad but the devil. So if you're mad at me, I'm not calling you the devil, but ain't nobody mad but the devil. I am doing my job. And when I had like 32 inmates that I'm concerned about that I will stop from visiting. Oh, we're going to take care of it. We're just trying to let the election go by. Y'all ain't going to stop me from coming into the prisons because I'm authorized by Florida statute. So y'all going to have to pass a law. Sister coming back up in there, you know, I'm going to get somebody to give me some, since I can't get no brothers to join me, I'm going to get me some security or some escort service. Somebody's going to have to go in there with me. Maybe we have to change some laws. I don't know. But Mr. Slama, thank you for coming. How much time do we have left? Got a lot of time left. Y'all hanging out. Go ahead and hit those hearts. If you feel me, if you have, somebody that's locked up right now, just go ahead and put their name. And if you know the name of the facility that they're in on the screen, so that as I go back through, I can pray for them. You know, faith without work is dead. Now, I am not just a sister, and Mr. Slama is not just a brother that we're just praying. Y'all probably calling us holy rollers, which we are. I am a bona fide holy roller. Okay. And, no, let me say this right here. People do what they want to do on Facebook. You know, they promote whatever they want to promote, whatever lifestyle, whatever their belief system is. We have a right to come and be who God has called us to be. And it ain't no shame in our game. And so we're professionals in every capacity of the word. But guess who we put first? The Lord. Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Everywhere I go, I take him with me. When I go to the floor, I take Jesus with me. So you can't separate that church and state. You can't cut me in half, and half of me is an apostle and half of me is an elected official. That's why it ain't no shame. Folk don't like that. Oh, you've got to keep religion out when y'all get out of our churches on souls to the polls. If you want to separate church and state, stop coming to our churches begging for votes. You know, because if the church don't vote for folk, they're in trouble. So I represent the people. And God knows I stand up for the church. Just like everybody has their agenda, I am so proud and honored that as I do represent people and what their needs are and what they say to me, I seek first the kingdom of God, which the folk that I represent don't mind, and its righteousness, and everything we have need of will be given unto us.
You know something? There's been 145 deaths in the state of Florida. And we are now either tied or ahead of Texas in terms of deaths in the prison.
Deaths that are unsolved.
Right now, undeclared, but certainly of unnatural causes.
Wow.
And something I want everyone to understand is it's important that every legal battle is not just a legal battle, it's a spiritual battle. Now, as we go through this episode, here's what the spiritual goal is. Let's talk about purpose and what the goal is. Well, in the legal sense, it's to make sure that that institution ultimately is in conformity with the laws of the state of Florida and the Constitution. But spiritually, here's what I think the goal is and what it should be, and I'm asking you guys to pray for as well, is that whatever happens in that institution, in the end, why we're there, is that in the end that God will be glorified and that the people, remember I said in the beginning, where is their hope? The goal of all of those institutions should be redemption. Now, while the state, you say, now before all the state people come out and say, no, you can't do that. I didn't say the guards to do it. I said by the guards following the law, they show respect for the law. They are teaching the inmates a very important thing, which is they tell them to have respect. There's a famous case that's called Olmstead versus United States. There's a fabulous quote in that case, and it says something like this. It says that the government, if it breaks the law, it not only becomes a lawbreaker, it breeds the very contempt for the very law that it says that it was ultimately to uphold. The prisoners know who they are, but when they look at you, if you're a guard, if you're a police officer, they know what you're supposed to be. The question is, are you living up to the standard that you say they are supposed to follow? Well, we know drugs are coming into the jails, steroids. All kinds of things are coming into there.
K2,
and there's all kinds of toys and phones and ways that they do things. They stop people from going to the canteen unless they pay the guard off $25 or $50, all kinds of tricks.
Listen, I get all kind of letters, but, you know, the thing that blew my mind, and I had a Selah moment, You know, that Selah, put Selah, S-E-L-A-H, pause and think on that. My Selah moment was when the warden of a prison put his hands on me. And we're not going to go into that. This was on a Friday. And on, is it okay?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, because let me tell it now if I can't
oh,
tell
absolutely.
It. You're the lawyer.
No, let it roll.
I'm telling the truth. I got a record. When the warden put his hand on me in a way that he should not have, to literally look me in my eyes and tell me, don't come back here no more. That was on a Friday. Then on Monday, I got Department of Corrections, high up. I got the warden who did it. And I got the regional guy over, and I'm sitting there, and they came to my, they were at my office 10 o'clock, so you know it was going down, right? It was going down. Y'all done hit a sister. You done touched the anointed. The alarm is going off in the spirit. Put your hands on me. So, okay. So the reason why this didn't come out, because they came to my office, and I had witnesses, so it's documented and verified. And I had a little pad just like this, about this size, a little pad like this. And I was drawing a map on how these guards was getting around me and how they was doing what they was doing to me. I even showed them what the warden did to me. And it's on the video, you know. And they came and literally said, Rep Daniels, he had a bad day. You're a woman of God. Can't you
forgive him?
Can't you forgive him?
Isn't that funny?
And then I said, but he put his hands on me. And the man looked at me and said, can we move on from here? And I kind of got scared and said, God, what am I dealing with? I serve a big God, bigger than any system. But it's pretty, you know, probably for a first week, I couldn't hardly, I had to get a new district secretary. She was so shook up after she saw when the warden cut up, and when guards come and stand over you, you know, it's not like I was, you know, I didn't do anything. You know, I was operating in my capacity of what I was called to do, but they just wanted, literally this is what I get. I've been visiting since state prisons for a year. And there are some good state prisons. I don't want you to think that this is everywhere, but I'm telling you, there's some hot spots that we're going to deal with. They're going to have to be dealt with. The only way you deal with the enemy is you expose them. And this is what I feel like. I feel like I walked up into a place where they knock black people's gold teeth out their mouth and put them in jars. And you a sister with gold teeth, and you're going to walk up in here because you're a state rep and tell me what we're going to do, and we're not going to do that. And sometimes my heart is so heavy that when I leave, I just feel like, because I get letters from the inmates saying, after you leave, they beat us. So this is what I have to carry. I'm not carrying this by myself no more. You know, I'm not carrying this by myself no more. And if you ain't got nothing to call me to say that's going to help me, keep your phone call, because a sister don't want to hear it. You know, I could really care less. I want to hear what your opinion is, because you know what? People that don't get involved, and they have so much opinion about it. It doesn't matter, because you're part of the problem. You know, everybody know what I'm talking about is real. You know, the NAACP has gotten letters, and the NAACP is working with us. You know, they have stood up to help me. And I just want to say that it's time. It's time. I am so tired of getting letters from mothers and daughters and people, and mostly the male prisons. I don't get a lot from the female prisons, but it's always the same prisons, and especially Lake Butler. Can y'all put Lake Butler up on the screen?
Franklin is another one. Franklin.
Well, you know, yeah, I can name all day, but I just want to right now just kind of target it in. I pray that everybody in the leadership, this is my prayer, of Lake Butler will be moved. That's my prayer. And I have a right. I'm preaching. I'm praying right now. You know, I'm not speaking to you as a representative. I'm sharing my testimony, but I pray that they will clean that place out. So they got, and I'm going to go say, you go ahead and Google it. And I know some folk, oh, she used that word. I'm going to say it because it is a, what is it called? It's a myth. Is it a myth? Like some people said, maybe it's like a fork, like something somebody made up. But there is a, you want me to, I can't say, can I say it?
Absolutely.
I'm going to say it. Yes, sir. This is Spending an Hour Power with the Apostle, okay? All right, so there is a, I don't know what you call it, but a history of two terrible guards named Nigga Charlie and K-Wing Slim. Did I say it right?
Yep.
K, guess what? That's where they mess with me at both times, on K-Wing. They don't want you coming up in K-Wing. Nigga Charlie and K-Wing Slim and the Gold Teeth. I can go on any street in Jacksonville, Florida, and surrounding areas, and everybody know the story of how bad it was at that facility, and how people were brutally, all kind of things, and some things were done, and what really, and I want to close out with this: if you, there was an article in the paper that had three pictures of Klansmen, three KKK, who were guards in the same facility, who put a hit on an inmate. And they did it with an undercover FBI agent. So, and this was like a year or so ago.
Yep.
I mean, this is on my watch, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it is really serious. And I'm not trying to show out or anything like that. I solicit your prayers. I'm not going to be, first of all, y'all need to know what's happening, you know. And my, I didn't bring any of my information on me, but. For those of you who want further prayer, are you going to contact me for prayer? Okay. Not for anything, because I'm on this Facebook Live totally as a minister, which I have a right to be. And I see the little ugly face right there. Boo to you, too.
You have good
eyes. I bind
you,
devil, in the name of Jesus. You probably done beat somebody up to whoever that was. Oh, Lord Jesus, this is my party, and I cry if I want to, cry if I want to. Yes, this is America. This is America. And you know what? I just want to, we're not going to open the lines up, because we may have to excuse somebody, because they're the weakest link. You may go now. But can I get you to commit to pray and to share this Facebook post? And I feel better that I'm not by myself, and that folk know what's really going on, because people like to keep things behind the scene, and then they want to make it seem like you did something. So there it is. I put it out there. Believe me, I have people in the higher up leadership in Tallahassee that are helping me, but I needed to let the public know what's going on. And for those of you who are writing letters after letters after letters, we're working on it. I can't get through all those letters. I have that day when I had those 35 inmates that I was going to see, about 13 was complaints of people being brutally beaten, handcuffed, maced,
gassed,
handcuffed, gassed, and then beaten. Now, why do you need to handcuff somebody and beat them and gas them? That's all of them saying the same thing. Y'all pray for me while I'm going down 10.
You know, something to help make this real, and sometimes I do this. Roger's listening. I think he's still listening. I always used to do this with Roger to make it real, because otherwise, when people hear it in the third person, it's easy to dismiss. Let me ask you a question. All of you, and the person who sent the little boo thing, let me ask you a question. Imagine that you went into a state prison while you're in the state prison to go find out what was going on, because there was a death.
Roger. Sorry.
And these people reached out to you, I mean, collectively, a whole bunch of people, saying, all these bad things are happening to me. When she goes to bed at night, she's received those letters. If someone dies, if someone were to expire, and they do, including the guy that we're handling, or I'm handling, Tim Thomas, who died. What was his great tragedy? Let me give it to you. He was looking to get a surgery that he had to sue to get in order to have his Achilles heel fixed. As a result, what did they do? They moved him over to the K-Wing from his prison in Okaloosa. And when he got there, The surgery didn't come, but they ended up treating him in a certain way. What was that way? Well, remember, this gentleman died on the road to Easter and ultimately died on Easter.
Absolutely.
Okay, now think about it. I just want you to think about
that. And guess who
died on Easter?
And guess who shows up there Easter? Me.
Kim shows up. And all she's doing is responding to there's a death in the
just
jail.
Just doing my job.
Has no idea what she's walking into. A guy dies on Easter for no good reason. And they ended up, they beat him. Why? He was a Muslim. He had a Muslim cap on. He didn't want to eat. He got pulled out of line. They wanted him to take the hat off, which he had a right to wear. The next thing you know, he's being gassed. He has asthma. They take him to the ground. They choke him. They beat him. Then they move him into the K-wing. He gets back there. He gets beaten up and then put in a cell. Then he gets moved to another cell. In the end, he ends up...
Who's got the key to keep moving him to all those cells?
Keep moving him around. And at the end, now they went too far. He couldn't breathe. He should have gone to a hospital. And that's the end of this. But he ends up dying. Now, that's on your doorstep. Now, I'm asking you, whoever it was who shot the little boo face or whatever out, what are you going to do? You're going to go, if you tell me I'm going to bed at night and he got what he deserved, well, he didn't get what he deserved because he didn't do anything he deserved.
And wait a minute, let me say this. And, you know, there's a lot of LGBTQ folk that don't like me. But I'm telling you, a lot of the people that I service, you know, in the prisons are gay people. You know, I mean, I go in like Superwoman to rescue them when they say we don't, they use these names, we don't feed this kind of person. And guess who write me? There's one partner who, and for some folk, look, I serve everybody. Those other folk, they don't like me because of their agenda. They don't like me because of Jesus. Because the LGBTQ people, and what's all of those law, for, the law people, the ACLU and all
ACLU.
Them folks, they ain't doing nothing to help inmates. And what's happening to them in this situation, I haven't gotten. Listen, if you want to help me, get past your dislike for me and know I'm on the right track. And I even had one partner to call me about his partner where a gang was in, called him and said, if you don't send so much money, we're going to kill him. And so guess who had to go in and have him to be moved? But everybody don't. It's a dirty job to some people. They don't want to get their hands dirty. They don't want no blood on their hands. They want everything to be cool and hunky-dory, tiptoe through the tulip so you can get elected next year and don't make nobody mad. But to get things done, you got to make somebody mad. And ain't nobody mad but the devil. Go ahead and hit those hearts. I don't see no hearts. Y'all ain't mad at me, are you?
See, you can have the plate, and you have the plate. I call it the Showtime plate. Everyone wants the Showtime plate. You get to come cruising into the Capitol and all this stuff. And all that's fun and that's good. However, there's the burden of office. In fact, a lot of people don't know this. When the Pope
ends
up getting his little position, right? Little position, big position. He's got a billion people. You know the first thing they do with him? They robe him and they put him in a room. Do you know what the room's called? The Room of Mourning. They put him in there to reflect on what just happened to him. And that overnight, he's responsible for a billion people. And as the good shepherd, right? You're a shepherd. Is all of that is now, we call it stewardship, entrusted to you to look after him. So what I'm saying is this. It's not just Kim Daniels. My question is, where's everybody else? Why is she the only one at the party? Now, if you tell me it's because they don't know the party
now,
exists.
Now, wait a minute now. There is.
I understand.
You know, Representative.
Yeah.
What's his name?
No, but how many representatives are there? There's a whole bunch.
But let me tell you, this representative don't have as much problem as I do because he's, and some fucking, y'all ain't gonna like this, he's a white male. And he don't have no gold too.
But you know, the IG, and I've been following this for 26 years, the IG is broken. What Kim Daniels is essentially doing is, and this is the irony of this whole thing, she's essentially functioning, not just as the state representative going in on a tour, because the IG is broken, and the Senate knows it, the House knows it. A friend of mine, Joe Negron, I went to school with him. I was president of the Senate when he was a student senator over at Stetson. I know Joe Negron. I sent him letters when he was president of the Senate. No one. The only thing he did with DOC was said, hey, if you guys don't get this right, I'm withdrawing some money. Julie Jones, she's on the run because of the medical care. They don't know what to do. And the IG has more whistleblowers talking about the problems. And here's what everyone has said in the Senate and the House. It's broken. DOC is afloat. And in the meantime, you have prisoners, people locked up, who can't provide their own medical care, and they can't protect themselves, entrusted to people that are doing their own thing. So here comes Kim. She sees the problem, and she's actually trying to address it. What I'm saying is...
This is what we got 3 minutes. This is what the assistant warden told me. Line three. Okay. You looked at me like, girl, you need to be respectful.
You need to bow.
And then the Department of Corrections, when these guys, like eight of them, were surrounding me, and I mean, I got proof. Yes, we have proof.
You have a video.
When these guys surrounded me, I called Department of Corrections, and you know what they said? We got proof that you were inciting the inmates. Really, for real. So I'm a bad mama jamma. I'm a bad sister. I go up in there by myself and shake all those big men. You ought to see how big they were. But I had to tell them to back up off a system, get up off me, because they was all around me. They was like, oh, you ain't tell us. And then I don't want to say no more. We got somebody. We need a break because I'm about to cry. No, we got a caller on the line. I want to hear what this caller has to say. On line three, caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Kim, how are you?
How are you?
I'm outstanding, praise the Lord. I just want to piggyback a little bit on what you're saying. I am a recovering addict of 13 years, and I was in prison back in 1999.
Okay, hold on. Let me catch everybody up on Facebook. We got a young lady. She's a recovering addict, and she was in prison back in 1999. Go ahead, because we got 1 minute. We got to get off the air.
Okay, and I just want to say what you're speaking about right now over there in Lake Buckley with the men going on. I remember an individual young lady that was in there with me. And she spoke about, she reached out to her parents on the outside about what we were going through as far as being mistreated. And there was a warden that told this young lady, we would have an accidental suicide. So we're suppressed to voicing our opinion or reaching out to our loved ones that are outside to help us get better treatment, what we deserve on the inside. So then by her being threatened, of course she went in the shell. But it's amazing to me that the same thing is still going on.
Well, I'm telling you, it's a lot worse than that. We're really being nice. But thank you so much. Thank you for calling in. She was saying when she was in prison how they were intimidated from not reporting things, and they were threatened with their life, which I get every day. It's just like everybody's threatened with their life. We have someone on line two. Nobody? Oh, we got 2 minutes? Okay. You keep putting two. All them signals, I'm getting them mixed up. But listen, thank you for tuning in. We needed to do this, you know, and when you go out to vote, I really believe that something has to be put in place. Remember Amendment 4, when you got all of these folk that couldn't vote, voting possibly. But I think that we need to teach people on what they're voting for. It breaks my heart when folk just really don't understand the issues. They really don't understand, you know, what they're voting for. So we need to educate our people. Education is everything. You know, voting is so precious. You know, there's some people in our generations that weren't allowed to vote. And I'm blessed to be sitting here. And, you know, this is a white boy. He's all right, Mr. Slammer, you know. And he fight for all people, all religions, all colors, all denominations. Republicans and Democrats, you know, guess what? You know, Republicans and Democrats locked up in prison, right? So, you know, but there seems to be a great disparity. And for some reason, most of the cases I get are with black guys. Now, I get some with white guys. And we just gotta move on from here. Is there anywhere else you want to say? Because listen, he's salt and I'm pepper. Is that all right? This is salt and pepper.
Batman and Robin. David and Nathan.
I love being pepper.
You can go to my Facebook page, the Law Office of Robert J. Slama. Also, The Lawyer's Edge. Take a look there. And my number is 296-1050, 296-1050. You know, what she was saying about the voting, and tomorrow or Tuesday, Amendment 4 deals with this thing about voting and convicted felons goes all the way back to the 1800s. And it's one of the remnants of Jim Crow laws. And you know who's the first one to start this? New York. It wasn't Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
New York. And the idea was to keep the slaves disenfranchised.
To have an attorney like this Robert Salama, attorney at law. Again, that number is
296-1050. And if you go on Facebook,
904. We got people all over the world. 904-296-1050. Just like the income tax. Is it 1030?
1050.
296-1050. 904-296. Put it up on the screen. Robert Salama. God bless y'all. Y'all know this was very difficult for me. As bold as I am, I had to slide my way through this. Continue to pray my strength in the Lord. You know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I appreciate you. I love you. Share this Facebook post. And I might need y'all to start writing some letters and doing some other things. But we just kind of want to put it out there. Did I put it out there? Hit those hearts if a sister. But did I put it out there? Did I tell it? You know, listen, I want to close out. I preach this, and I may be on Facebook Live tonight. Y'all just listen out for me. I taught on the difference in testimony and testament. Testimony affects us and what we come out of. But a testament is when you go from your testimony, you become a living epistle, and your testament affects other people. And God wants to take you from a testimony, from having a testimony, to being a living epistle and being a testament. God bless you. I love you. This is Kimberly Daniels, the apostle, spending another hour here with Mr. Robert Salama, however you say it. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's show. To contact Apostle Kimberly Daniels at Spoken Word Ministries, you can call her at 904-237-9363. Services are Sundays at 12 noon or Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Or you can be her friend on Facebook by logging in at State Representative Kimberly Daniels. Don't forget to like and follow. And join us again next Sunday evening at 6 here on Praise 107.9.
The ultimate gospel experience, W300CU Jacksonville and WKSL HD3 Neptune Beach. The new Praise 107.9.
Thank you for joining Truth and Love Ministries, where we exist to connect people to God, to connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. Connect with us on Facebook at Truth and Love Jax, or visit us on the web at truthandlove.tv, where you will also find our weekly broadcast. On the go and want to know what's going on at Truth and Love? Simply visit your mobile app store and download the Truth and Love app and get information on services, events, and even messages right at your fingertips. Tune in now, where the message is already in progress.
Can I tell you, but no, the Bible said there was a divine connection of where these individuals showed them unusual kindness. They were good to them. Oh my God, I believe that's why God wants us to be so divinely connected. And I believe, and I know for a fact, that's why Satan fights our relationship so hard. That's why Satan fights us and wants us to be warring, wants us to be at odds. If my wife and I are not on the same core, we cannot get to what God wants us to be. How in the world can we get to where we're supposed to be? If 1 Peter chapter 3 says, if I'm treating you any kind of way, that my prayers are hindered, I can't get a prayer through. Come on, hear somebody. I can't be what God wants me to be if you and I are not on one accord. Oh my God, it's not just marital, but it's even relational in the house of God, because the Bible said that when we come together and when we love one another, iron sharpens iron. We ought to encourage one another. We ought to help one another. That's why the devil keep you mad at me. That's why the devil keep you mad at me, mad at you. That's why our relationships are so tense and so stressful, because when we get it together, when we finally begin to lay down our intention and lay down our big eye and lay down our little use and get it together, we can get some progress done. I got it. God gives us some divine connections. Did you hear what I said? I don't want you to miss what I said and me trying to... me being excited. I don't want you to miss what I said. So let me slow down for a second and downshift for a second. Let me downshift. That's why it's so hard for us as the people of God to get along. This is my testimony. I'm sticking to it. I never had a problem with a person until I got saved. I promise you. That's a God honest truth. I never had a problem with an individual. If you didn't like me, who cares? You do whatever you want to do, say whatever you want to say, carry yourself how you. I don't care because I don't have to deal with you. But then when I get saved and I'm supposed to love you, that don't work no more. Come on here. You just can't tell nobody to go on about your business. You do what you want to do and live. You're not supposed to just tell somebody go on about your just do it. I don't care. Don't talk to me. Don't speak to me. That's how we did before we got saved. But when you start trying to live for God, for real though, the enemy tries to cause tension in our relationships. But God wants us to have some divine connections. He wants us to have some Elijah and Elishas. He wants us to have some David and Jonathans. He wants us to have some Jesus and John. He wants us to have some divine connections. Some Paul and some Silases. Come on here. Some Batman and some Robin. Oh my God. Some Jordans and some Pippins. Come on. Some LeBron and some Jameses. God wants us to have some connections. Because look what the book says. In Ecclesiastes 4:9. Y'all don't believe me. Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. The book says two are better than one, for when we get together, we can help one another. When you're down, I can help you up. When you're up, you can pull me up. Come on. Two are better than one. Oh my God. We can get to the point in our walk with God that when any two are touching on anything, he said it's there that I'm in the midst. When we come together and we don't want to call. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. They were all sitting together at one place at one time, and they all had one purpose. And the Bible says, and suddenly then the Holy Spirit came. When the enemy attacks us and we can't get together, then that's where the problem comes. Two better. Look what John Maxwell says. He says, if you travel alone, you could probably go faster. But the journey will never be as rewarding, and you probably won't be able to go as far. You can go by yourself. Oh, I know what we could say, man, because some of us are some loners. Some of us are some only owners. And we just, no, I'm by myself. I don't need nobody. I don't want nobody talking to me. I don't got no friends, and I don't want no friends. If you start acting like you want to be my friend, you going on to back them off. You just going to back them off real quick because you don't want no friends. You don't even want them in the friend zone. You don't even want no zone. You just take the whole, you don't want nothing. You don't want no friends. But the Bible says I probably ain't got no friends. Because I'm probably not friendly. Oh. Y'all cut this off back there? Okay, all right. I probably don't have any friends because I'm probably not friendly. Some of us are so unfriendly, we don't even get along with ourselves. Why are you doing this? Let me keep going. Maxwell says, I can travel alone, you probably can go faster, but the journey will never be as rewarding, and you probably won't be able to go as far. That speaks to my spirit, because the kingdom of God, hear me good, is all about relationships. The key, that's what we're about. We're about relations. It's not about me getting mine. It's not about me by myself. We're all about relationships. That's why God sent his son, because he wanted a relationship with us. That's what we're all about. We're all about relationships. But God provided them a place of refuge. Let me go. I know I'm boring, y'all. He goes to, God bless you, the whole side over here. He provided a place of refuge. He provides also divine connections. Thirdly, let me blaze. God also provides us an opportunity to grow. It's all right here on the other side of this storm. He's on this island. God has given him a place of refuge. God has given him some divine connections. And God also gives him an opportunity to grow. Look right here in verse 3. Acts 28, verse 3. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. I'm telling you, he was just in a hurricane. Then he gets out of the water into some more water. God gives him some assistance through somebody. Give and it shall be given. Pressed down, shaken together. Men will give. Men, not God. Give. Men will give into your bosom. So God helps him in that. Now Paul is gathering sticks to help. The verse says in verse 2, take me to verse 2 if you could, because I want to show you this again. In the verse 2 it says that the native people showed us unusual kindness. For they kindled, hear me, watch me, it's right here. For they kindled a fire. For they kindled a fire. They were putting the fire together. But verse 3 says Paul was helping them kindle the fire. The natives was doing it for them, but Paul wanted to help. Oh, what happens when something bad happens to you when you're only trying to help? Oh my God, I thought that was going to go over a little bit better than that. Oh, you just wanted to be there for them. You just wanted to be there till they bounce back. Now all of a sudden you done got yourself locked down. Y'all go help me here. You just were trying to be a friend. You just were trying to help them out. You just were trying to stand in a gap for them. Now all of a sudden, y'all know what I'm saying. I need to make that plainer, because I don't think y'all really get what I'm saying. You're trying to be helpful to somebody. You're trying to be there for somebody. And now all of a sudden things go awry, or things get a little worse, or something happens. Paul is there gathering the sticks, and here Paul was a worker. I love that about Paul. He just couldn't sit still. He just couldn't sit down. He just got in the middle, came out of a storm, and now he got to get up and help them. And can I tell you, when you're helping and when you're working and when you're gathering and when you're helping, assisting what's going on, and you're throwing logs on the fire, every now and then you're going to get bit. Oh my God. See, you think because you're working, you think because you're on the Lord's side, you think because God brought you from this and God brought you from that you're never going to get bit. No, God just trying to give you an opportunity to grow. Oh, yes, he is. Because if you never would have came out of storm, you wouldn't know he'll bring you through the storm. If you never would have known he'll provide fire for you, you'll never know he'll provide fire for you. And now God allows Paul an opportunity to grow again. The Bible says, give me the verse 3, thank you. It says he was putting together the stick and out of the fire because of the heat. Good God. You wondering what's going on in your life. You're trying to figure out why in the world it seems like the devil is raging you on every corner. It's because of the heat. It's because of that Holy Ghost fire you got. It's because of the fact that you just won't stop praying. It's because of the fact that you just won't stop giving. It's because of the fact that you just won't stop coming. Oh my God, I speak over our church right now in the name of Jesus, that we'll be a place that where people will be drawn to us. I speak over our church right now that we'll be a magnetic place. Oh, me and my wife were just talking the other day, and it's several people over and over again. They say, I love the church, but it's just something that just seemed like it tried to stop me from coming. It's something to try to keep me out the door. It's something it's so hard to walk through those doors. Oh, can I tell you that is the devil himself trying to stop you from getting to your filling station, trying to stop you from getting to places where you can get some help and get some assistance. But I speak that over you, that you're going to have a stick-to-itness in you. You're going to have some steadfastness about you, that way you're going to keep on moving and you're gonna keep on doing what you got to do. That's why the devil keep fighting you, because of the heat. The snake came. I'm not making this up. The viper came. The snake came. The Bible says because of the heat. Because of the heat that they started. Because of the fire that they started. That's why the devil came out, and that's why the devil comes. He's not going after somebody that's not causing him any trouble. He's going after the individual that's trying to stop his mission and trying to push forward the work of God. If you wasn't bothered him, he wouldn't bother you. But because you're on the winning side, that's why he's coming and trying to fight. He's trying to fight you. And the Bible says he latched onto Paul. He literally latched onto him, fasting onto him. He grabbed the hold of Paul. And there's some seasons in our life, it seemed like the devil just latched on us, and we can't shake him off. We can't get him off us, because he's just sitting there all on us. It seemed like when I get over this, here goes something else. When I come out of that, here goes something else. And the devil just won't leave me alone. Oh my God, have you ever been in a season in your marriage? marriage, it seemed like y'all just couldn't get along for nothing? Have you ever been in a season in your finances that where it seemed like no matter how much you strategize, you sit down with your legal pad and you just still can't get ahead? Have you ever been in a season in your relationship that where you just can't get along with nobody? The devil done grabbed a hold of you. Oh, but Paul teaches me something here. Paul says when somebody latches on to me, when the devil latches on to me, there's something that I'm supposed to do, because the provider, he has given me something else. Not only has he given me an opportunity to grow, because he let me be bit. Oh, that's what Jesus told Peter. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan have desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. I'm not going to stop the devil from coming your way, but what I'm going to do is that whenever he come, I'm going to give you the strength that you need, that you're able to make it. I'm going to give you what you need, that way you can go another day, y'all. Let me.